Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you from the Rocky Mountain town of Crested Butte, Colorado. I am your host, Mark Troutman, CFP. This educational, personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. Welcome to this week's show. First, I'd like to apologize about not releasing an episode last week. I was having a lot of fun in Europe on the cruise that I referenced in the last episode, and we just had so many excursions going on. We had stops every single day, and we were enjoying our travels together with friends and family. I asked the group, I said, you know, I really need to record an episode and release it. And they said, you know what? Everyone will understand. You let everyone know in advance that that might be the issue. So don't worry about it. Have a good time. You're only here one time. So again, I apologize for that, but I am back. I am in Crested Butte. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see this background at my house. It is a little sparse. I have less furniture. There might be some boxes in the picture that you see. I think actually they're mostly hidden, so you don't see them. But there are a lot of boxes around. I've been furiously packing, getting ready for the closing, which is 2 weeks away, a little less than 2 weeks at this point. So this week, I just thought I didn't have a lot of topics ready to go. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to speak my mind. So what is on my mind right now? Well, travel, moving, and taxes. And you say, taxes in September? What's the story with that? Well, I'll get to that. So let's first talk a little bit about travel. Like I said, I had a great time in Europe. So good, in fact, I did not release an episode last week. And again, I'm sorry about that. We were creating a whole bunch of memory dividends. This was a trip with my mother, my daughter, and four other good friends. And we just had a trip of a lifetime. We created many memory dividends, like I referenced in the last episode. And it was just overall an exceptional time. And I'm super happy that we had the opportunity to do that. Getting on to the big move. So the big push is here. Like I said, bear with me if I miss an episode coming up next week. I got a lot going on. Hopefully I will be able to have a recording. So we may only be doing every other week for a little while until I kind of get back settled a little into my new place. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But this week is all about final packing and moving some items into this efficiency apartment that I have here now in Crested Butte. It's a small one bedroom. There's not a lot of storage. It's fully furnished. So that's the good news. The bad news is there's not many places to put things. So I'm only going to be moving my essentials, clothing, some kitchen items, and really not much else. So the big purge was very advantageous, and I talked about that in a previous episode, which I'll link to in the show notes. So that helped out a lot, but I do still have some more items beyond my clothes and some kitchen items. So what is going to happen with those? Fortunately, my friend Kevin Sebesta, he's flying out to help me this weekend, and so are my friends Stephen and Becky. They're going to be here this week helping to take some additional items. They've been very good with helping me with the purge in that they have taken a lot of items for themselves and some family members. And there's a few additional items that are in my garage that they are going to come back and help grab with their trailer and also help me with some final packing and moving some stuff around to the new apartment. Now, Kevin is going to help me move to Longmont. I've rented a U-Haul. That was also an interesting story. U-Haul does not guarantee your vehicle, even if you make a reservation. And what I was told is that if I made a one-way reservation, they may say as late as the day before, hey, by the way, the truck you reserved is at a different location. Well, normally that would be okay if you were in a large metro area. But for me, the next closest location besides Gunnison, which is already 30 minutes away, is about an hour and a half away in Montrose. And there's a bridge out and there's some issues with that. So I had to rent a vehicle round trip. That was the only way to guarantee I could get a U-Haul that I reserved. So I actually reserved it in Longmont. So I need to go there this weekend, get that U-Haul, bring it back here. Kevin is flying in on Sunday night. I will pick him up. We are going to pack up the U-Haul and drive over next week. So it's going to be a busy weekend and a busy week next week. So again, I hope I can publish next week. I do these really the day before. I'm recording this on Tuesday. This will be released tomorrow. So next week's episode would probably be recorded over the weekend. And again, hopefully I'll have enough time to do it. But if not, please accept my apology. I am definitely shooting to get back on schedule once all of this craziness ends. So we'll just see how that goes. But what we're doing is we're going to load up the U-Haul with any extra items other than my clothes and some minor kitchen items and move those into a storage facility in Longmont. I do not have a rental or I've not purchased anything in Longmont yet, so that's to be determined. So for now, those items will just go into storage. What this also means is this may be the last recording from this house. My next recording may be from the apartment or some other location to be determined. So that's what's been going on with the big move. The closing is set for the 24th, and hopefully things will calm down a little bit after that. That's my hope, at least. I do have a lot of other travels scheduled. I will talk about those at the end of the episode. But then I brought up the concept of taxes. Why in the world am I thinking about taxes in September? Well, I feel it's very important to do tax planning for the current year. And when you get to the end of the third quarter, you have a pretty good idea of where you stand year to date. And for me, I don't have earned income, but I do have investment income, potentially capital gains. And this year is a special situation in that I'm selling my house. So I want to talk a little bit about how that works when it comes to tax planning. The other thing to consider at this time of the year for those who filed an extension, which was not me, fortunately, but for those who did, your 2023 tax return is due by October 15th. So that needs to be done. That's rapidly approaching. So for any of you who filed an extension, make sure you get your final tax return submitted by October 15th. Not for me. I did file my taxes on time this year, but in the past, I've had to file an extension for various reasons, and October 15th is a big date, obviously, for that reason. At the end of the quarter, so we're rapidly approaching the end of September, and that's when I sit down and start thinking about what is my tax situation for the current year? Where do I stand with my income? And for me, I don't have earned income, but I do have interest and dividends, sometimes capital gains. I typically do some Roth conversions at the beginning of the year. I did so this year. I was not anticipating selling my house this year, or at least I wasn't at the beginning of the year. That's thrown a little bit of a wrench into my planning, and I need to sit down and kind of math out some things regarding that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that as well. For most people, you can project out what you think your income is going to be for the rest of the year, whether it's wages or earnings, or if you're self-employed, your business or investment income, you can start to estimate that. For me, I own primarily index funds in my taxable account or just ETFs that don't produce much long-term capital gains or unexpected long-term or short-term capital gains. So that's not as much of an issue for me. But if you have taxable accounts that have managed funds, that can start to cause issues at the end of the year because you don't know exactly what those distributions are going to be. So index funds can typically be more advantageous in your taxable brokerage account than managed funds, for example. And not only that, but index funds typically have much lower expense ratios. So another reason to own them over managed funds. So I don't have that issue, but I have been able to project what I think my interest in dividends are going to be through the rest of the year. Hopefully, assuming my house closes, I will have an amount of money that will be invested in a taxable account, which will create additional income, interest income primarily. And I've kind of been able to estimate that. For people who have earned income, you've had withholding throughout the year, most likely. So you can start to estimate where you stand relative to what you think your tax liability is going to be this year. And if you've withheld enough from your paycheck throughout the year, you can make adjustments to that withholding with your employer in case you're a little bit behind or even ahead potentially. And for me, I don't have that. I do have the ability to pay estimated taxes. So for people who have income that is not subject to withholding, which would be things like interest and dividends, you do need to pay estimated taxes throughout the year or withhold taxes. And you can do that typically through, let's say, IRA distributions, for example. Now, if you have IRA distributions and you're over age 59 and a half, which I'm not, you can take a distribution from your IRA and withhold a portion of it to make up for any estimated taxes you haven't paid. The good thing about that is withholding is considered as if it's paid equally throughout the year, whereas estimated taxes are paid on a quarterly schedule, April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, which is coming up, and January 15th for the last quarter. So the January 15th date is really for the fourth quarter of the prior year. There's also something called the safe harbor rule. So I look at that very carefully. So the way that works is, and you can reference IRS publication 505, which I will link in the show notes. As long as you pay 90% of your current year tax liability or 100% of your prior year's tax liability, or potentially 110% of your prior year tax liability if your income is over $150,000 for married filing joint or $75,000 for single, and that's for the income from the prior year, then you will not be subject to any penalties for underpayment, even if you owed substantially more. So for me, and I will get to this when we get to the capital gains on my house sale, for example, I am looking at this very closely because I will have a tax liability for this year and I have not made estimated payments. I can take a distribution from my inherited IRA because that's not subject to the 10% early withdrawal penalty and withhold some or all or majority of that distribution to pay the taxes. So I'm looking at that very carefully. When it comes to my kind of unexpected capital gains. So here's how it works when you sell your house. So there's actually a really nice exclusion for selling your primary home. As long as you've lived in the home for 2 out of the last 5 years and it's your primary residence, you can exclude up to $500,000 of capital gains if you're married filing jointly, or $250,000 if you're single. There's also this extra exception for surviving spouses. If you sell your home within 2 years of the death of your spouse and you haven't remarried at the time of the sale, you get the full $500,000 exclusion as if you were married filing joint, even though you are now technically single. That does not apply to me. My wife passed away more than 2 years ago, so I do not have that benefit. However, there is another benefit for surviving spouses in that you get a step up in basis on the value that pertains to the deceased spouse. So I'll explain how that works. In my case, my wife and I bought our house many years ago in 2011. She passed away in 2021. So what I did was I had the house appraised And what you have to do it is you have to do it as of the date of passing. So when I got the appraiser in, I told him that it needed to be as of the date she passed away. He understood that, and he appraised the value of the home as of that date. So what happens then is that her half gets stepped up to that value. So I'm just going to use hypothetical numbers and not my actual numbers. I'm going to use really round numbers just to make it super easy. Let's say you bought a house for $500,000. So that means technically each of you had a cost basis of $250,000. Then the one spouse passes away and now it's worth $1 million. So that means the spouse that passed away, their step up goes to half of that or $500,000, and their surviving spouse's original $250,000 gets added to that. So now the adjusted basis in that scenario would be $750,000 for their surviving spouse. And if that surviving spouse sold it within 2 years, they would have a full $500,000 exclusion. Or even if they sold it after 2 years, they would have a $250,000 exclusion. So no tax would be owed. My situation is a little bit different. I did the calculation. There is a step up in basis. We were fortunate in that there is a significant amount of gain in the house. I will get the step up from her half. I get my original basis. To that basis, you also can add any major improvements to the house. So that would include things like additions, any significant improvements, not maintenance. So I recently stained the house, for example. That's considered maintenance, so that does not get added. But we put in a new driveway. It was a gravel driveway. Now it's a cement driveway. That counts. We put in a fence. That counts. We put in a shed, which is actually an outbuilding. That counts. So those are the things that are added to my basis. There will be a gain above and beyond the exclusion I get on top of this adjusted basis, partially for the step up and partially for those improvements that were done. So that's what I need to factor into my taxes this year. What's interesting is that this gain will happen potentially, assuming the house closes, later this year, right? So my closing date is set for September 24th. That's considered the fourth quarter for tax purposes. However, technically, I should have paid estimated taxes throughout the year in equal installments. Well, I didn't know I was going to have this gain. So there's a way to calculate your income on what's called the annualized income installment method. We're starting to get really deep in the weeds here, so I apologize. But basically what happens is the IRS recognizes that there are some people who do not receive income equally throughout the year. And you can go through this very long calculation on Form 2210, which allows you to say, hey, I didn't have this large chunk of income until later in the year. And they recognize that that's a reality. And as long as you pay taxes or estimated taxes in that quarter. So for me, if the house sale goes through on September 24th and I have a gain and I annualize the income and I put that in the fourth quarter, then as long as I pay the estimated tax by the estimated tax due date of January 15th, I'm good to go. However, I can also rely on that safe harbor rule. So that's kind of what I am looking at, is I am going to consider leaning on the safe harbor. And the way I can do that is by taking a distribution from my inherited IRA. In my case, I can withhold up to 99% of it at the custodian I'm at, which is Vanguard. That will satisfy the tax penalty avoidance as long as I pay at least 100% of my prior year tax liability, or 110% if your income is over $75,000 as a single individual, or $150,000 if you're married filing jointly, then I can avoid any tax penalty. So that's my goal. That's how I'm going to manage this. And I could also annualize it and then make sure I pay the estimated taxes by January 15th. and then I'm good to go. I haven't decided exactly how I'm going to do it yet, but I do need to figure this out before the end of the year, because if I do the withholding, it needs to be in the calendar year. So that would be by December 31st. If I do the estimated taxes method, then I can just make that payment by January 15th. Then there are a couple other issues that come into play for me in particular, and for many people who are on the ACA. You potentially can get a subsidy if you're on the ACA, provided that your income is below a certain level. Now, last year, my income was not below a level where I would get a subsidy, so I was not eligible for any advanced subsidies this year. But had I been eligible for advanced subsidies, effectively what would have happened is my insurance premiums would have been reduced by that estimated advanced subsidy, and at tax time, I would have to pay that back. Well, fortunately, in one way, I've been paying full freight all year, so I will not have to repay any advanced subsidies. So that is not the case for me, but it also means I will not receive any subsidies, because if my income was low enough this year, which in my original planning, it was going to be, I would have received some small subsidy and I would have received that back when I did my tax return. Well, that doesn't come into play for me this year. The other thing I've been thinking about is, okay, how can I increase my deduction? So normally I take the standard deduction because I don't have enough itemized deductions, but this year, because I am looking at potentially having a higher than normal income year, how can I increase my deductions above the standard deduction and itemize? Well, one way to do that is through contributions to a donor advised fund. And I do have some appreciated securities in my taxable brokerage account, and I'm contemplating whether I make a donation to my donor advised fund, which already is funded fairly well, but I've been intending to increase the amount in that donor advised fund at some point in the future, in a year where I had a high tax liability, and it looks like maybe this year is one of those years. So I am looking at doing a contribution to my donor advised fund with appreciated securities. And I talked about this in episode 19, so I have a link to that. Now, how do I figure all this stuff out, right? This seems like a lot of math. There's a lot of schedules. How do you do this? There are calculators out on the internet where you can just play around with the numbers and really dial in what your tax liability is going to be in the year. The one that I use, I'm not being paid to say this, but it's dinkytown.net tax calculator. And I will link to that in the show notes. I found it to be extremely reliable and accurate. And what you can do is just put in numbers of what you think your income is going to be in certain areas, what your deductions are going to be, what your withholding is, and it will give you a very accurate estimate of what your tax situation is going to be. So typically what I'm doing is I'm going online and using that website and putting in the numbers I know year to date. I adjust those for what I think they're going to be. And then I can start playing around with, should I do a conversion? If so, how much? Should I do a distribution from my inherited IRA and withhold a percentage of that? What does that look like? I can do all of these what-if scenarios by just changing some numbers around. And then what I also do is there's a button that says show report, hide report, and I will show the report and really drill down into, well, what is being affected here? What is happening? And then I can also look at a what-if scenario in one situation, compare it to another situation, figure out what my additional tax liability is going to be between those two what-if scenarios. And you can get a really good understanding of what your last dollars are being taxed at. And it includes things like, for instance, the net investment income tax, where you have to pay an additional tax on investment income over a certain amount. And that may come into play for me this year, for example. So I'm looking at that as well. And then I'm looking at, well, where does my normal income, because long-term capital gains are taxed at a different rate, where does my normal income get taxed and what does that look like? Because as a retiree, an early retiree, you have a lot of levers that you can pull. You can do Roth conversions. You can do withdrawals from an IRA if you have that ability. If you're over 59 and a half or have an inherited IRA like I do, you can maybe do contributions to a donor advised fund, like I talked about. There are all these different levers you can work with, and using a tax calculator like that gives you the ability to do tax planning, because what happens is most people look at their taxes after the end of the year. And there are some things you can do. For instance, you could do maybe an IRA contribution that may or may not be tax deductible, an HSA contribution for the prior year, and things like that. But they're really small things. It really makes sense to do your tax planning in the year of the tax liability, as opposed to waiting until after the year end or when you're doing your taxes to try to make adjustments. So this is why I find the fourth quarter is very valuable to really start to do a lot of this planning. And there's still plenty of time. We're only in September, so there's plenty of time to start working on this. And I would suggest certainly by early October and no later than, I would say, November, really start dialing this in and seeing where do you stand? Is there anything that you can do to make improvements? Are there any options to maybe move taxes forward? And a lot of people say, why would you do a Roth conversion and pay the tax now instead of paying it later? Well, it may be opportunistic to pay today's tax rates, especially since tax rates are scheduled to go up in 2026. You may want to take advantage of certain tax brackets that might not be available to you in the future. Just because your income may be higher, you may have turned on Social Security, you may have to do required minimum distributions from an IRA. So it's really valuable to look at your tax brackets. Which ones do you want to fill up? Are there any special situations? For example, in my case, the house sale. And for instance, I'm thinking just off the top of my head about the itemized deduction. Part of the itemized deduction is state and local income taxes, and they're subject to a $10,000 limit. But if I don't own a house anymore, I'm not going to have property tax. I likely won't have a mortgage. And certainly, if I don't buy a house, I won't have a mortgage, right? So those are things that will go away and make it difficult for me to itemize instead of using the standard deduction. So this is another year to highly consider doing things like contributions to a donor advised fund while I have other deductions in the queue, such as property tax, income tax, and other items that will likely go away to some degree. So that's where tax planning comes into play, as opposed to just doing your taxes and saying, oh, well, I guess that's the bill and it is what it is and I can't do much about it. So really focusing on your taxes in the current year, I find to be very, very valuable, especially for those who are early retired and have a lot of options to move income from year to year, whether it's moving it out later or moving it into the present. And even for those employed, you can use contributions to your 401k. You can reduce your income by making more contributions to a tax-deferred account in your 401k, for example, or maybe you want to change it to the Roth version because you have a low income year and you're just like, hey, I'll just pay the tax now instead of paying it in the future. So even if you're not early retired, this is definitely an exercise to do. Well, that was a lot. That was a deep dive. I will call that definitely a single black diamond for sure. And I will link to the IRS publications that talk about selling your primary residence, annualizing your income, and also whether you need to pay estimated taxes and the safe harbor rule. So, what's on the horizon for me? Let me just give you a little rundown of where things are and why I'm hoping to be able to stay on schedule, but if I'm not, you'll understand why. First, closing date for my house is set for September 24th, which is less than 2 weeks away. Right after that, I will be traveling to the Rock Retirement Club's annual roundup in Grapevine, Texas. And I will also be spending some time with the Slackers, which I've mentioned in earlier episodes, first in episode 5, Finding Your Tribe. And all of us go down to the roundup every year, and then we rent an Airbnb and hang out for a little while afterwards. So who knows? Maybe you'll hear a Slacker on one of these upcoming episodes. A few weeks after that, I will be heading to Bali for the Phi Freedom Retreat hosted by my good friend, Amy Minkley. The first event was last year. I had an awesome time. I'm so looking forward to going back. There are some excellent attendees that are coming, some great friends, a few repeats from last year, and we have some really fun people that will be presenting. Brad Barrett from Choose FI will be there. Alan and Katie Donegan will be there. Rachel Richards will be there. So just a super all-star lineup for presenters, but that's not what it's about. It's about the community. And I'm so looking forward to seeing some great friends again and making some new friends while I'm there with attendees who I've never met before. And then after that event, so I'll be in Bali for probably almost a month. And then I immediately go to Australia and New Zealand to meet up with some of the Slackers. We're taking a 32-day cruise around Australia and New Zealand. So my goal will be to record from the road, both from Bali and from that cruise ship. And I did find a hack, not really a hack, but a way to reduce the cost of upgrading the Wi-Fi on the cruise ship. It's the same cruise line I went on last time, and I spoke to someone about how I can get faster internet, because that was one of the challenges with releasing the episode, and I've found a way that I should be able to have fast internet the whole time, so that should hopefully prevent any issues with releasing shows. And then I get back in the U.S. almost at the end of the year, right before Christmas time, just in time to teach the financial literacy class in the local high school here in Crested Butte to the seniors. Normally, I do that in November and December, but I will be away. So it's getting pushed to the end of their first semester, which is early January. So it's going to be a condensed course, still going to cover all the topics, but it will be over the course of 2 weeks instead of 6 weeks, with multiple classes this year. So if you guys are listening, stay tuned. I'll be back. Don't worry. I will be teaching that class. And there is another teacher who is going to help with that and teach a few of the classes in advance before I get back, helping me out with the curriculum this year. So I'm very appreciative of that. So thank you for doing that. And so that's what's coming up. Lots of stuff on the docket. Like I said, definitely think about looking at your tax situation, doing some tax planning, playing around with the calculator, seeing where you stand, seeing if there's anywhere you can make some adjustments to this year's taxes to your advantage. And I highly recommend doing that. And you've got plenty of time to do it throughout the rest of the year. So I wanted to bring it up. It's been on my mind, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention. That's it for this week. And I will hopefully see you next week, or you will hear from me next week. That's my goal. Until then, have a great week. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people find the content in their podcast players. If you would like me to answer a question on the show, please send it to mark@marksmoneymind.com and put podcast question in the subject line. Let me know your first name, or let me know if you would like to remain anonymous, and also your state of residence if you choose. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend this show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next week on the Mark's Money Mind show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. And now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.